will write your book. I 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 will write your book right now. Listen up.
Hi, this is Cassette Tape 21. This is another episode of I Will Write Your Book. My name is Will Hines. I'm a ghostwriter. This is another meeting with one of my clients who wants a book written. As always, I have my copy editor here on the line, Karen Donahue. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Karen, how was your week? How you doing?
Good. Fine.
Great. Okay. Well, it's good to have you on the call. So,
I'm sorry, Will. How was your week? How are you?
No, that's not what I was saying. You don't have to ask me how I'm doing. I'm just checking in on you.
Seems like it.
You're my employee, and I just want to make sure you're doing all right. Why is that funny? Why is that funny?
You think I'm your employee?
Yes, I pay you. I've hired you. That's what I mean. It's a small operation.
Right. I'm not your employee. Okay. I subcontract to you. I'm self-employed.
Okay, I see. I employ your services. Is what I mean. I feel responsible for your time here, and just want to make sure you're doing all right. That's all. I'm just checking in on you. I really meant it to be. I can't believe this is something we talk about every week, because I honestly mean it to be like a three-syllable exchange. But I hope you're doing all right. So we have this is another Zoom conference call where we have another client. This gentleman's name is Flint Banner. Flint, are you there? I think I've got you connected now.
Down. Get down. Stevie, get down. Hey, hi. Guys. Sorry about that. I have six dachshunds, and they're just kind of running around. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, cute. Little wiener dogs.
They're sweet. Yeah. That's a lot, guys.
That's a lot of dogs. All right. Yeah, just let us know if you need to take a break or go deal with them. That's totally fine, Flint. My name's Will, as you know, and this is Karen Donahue on the line. She's a copy editor. I like to have her on the calls in case she sees any grammatical challenges we'll be needing to deal with.
Perfect. That sounds so helpful. I'm really glad that you guys were willing to set up a time to talk. Highly recommended.
Great.
So just a little bit about me and the project I'm working on right
now.
I am working on a series, a 10 novel set of fantasy novels, a la Game of Thrones, a la Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And I have done a lot of the mapping, the character building, a lot of, I guess what you would say, world building. But I just am kind of stuck on what to call everything.
Yes. You know, that's one of the huge, I'm a huge fan of that genre. And I noticed when I was reading like Lord of the Rings, for example, a lot of the book's sort of power comes from like just proper nouns, you know, just like Rivendell is the name of the elf's
community. Good.
Oh, we can't use that one because that's a pretty famous location in the Lord of the Rings universe.
Oh, that's from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's from Lord of the Rings.
To be 100% truthful, I said that the books I'm writing are like Lord of the Rings. I don't actually know if that's true or not. I haven't read those. I just know that they're popular.
Hey, I totally get it. Well, you know, like that kind of Dungeons and Dragons, sword and sorcery, King Arthur world, we all kind of know it, even if we're not experts.
King Arthur, that's good too.
Oh, well, we definitely can't use King Arthur. That's a pretty famous myth. So
that sucks, because that would be really good for one of my characters who's a king.
Yeah, well, we can be inspired by it.
Well, I just want to mention something. King Arthur is public domain.
Sure.
You know, you could use King Arthur if you wanted to. If you wanted to, available.
We could.
It's not like copyrighted.
It would just be like calling a character Sherlock Holmes, like that's in the public domain. But if you do that, everyone's going to be thinking of the pre-existing Sherlock Holmes.
Who cares? Stop being so scared.
I'm just pointing out the consequences of it. So I think we could think of an alternate to King Arthur that would be just as good.
You're right. I'll put that down as a backup because I do love that. Character has big Arthur energy, but I would like to come up with my own stuff. I would like to be
one of
those authors who's, I guess, writes their own stuff, kind of.
Yes, sure. And there's several arrangements we could do where I could pitch a lot of proper nouns, and then you could pick and choose the ones you like. Game of Thrones is another great example. I feel like Game of Thrones has a really good mixture of terms that are simple but powerful, like King's Landing. You know, that's not a mouthful. That's a nice, simple
town. This rules. Are those books good? Should I read them?
Oh, yes, yes, they're quite good. You've never read any of the Game of Thrones books?
They're so big. They're so long.
They're quite long.
I did watch, so how I actually got the idea for my series of novels is I watched the show on HBO.
Oh, yeah, great
mostly
show.
Mostly what I would do is I wouldn't watch the whole episode. I would just kind of fast forward until, you know, it got interesting, if you know what I mean.
I don't 100% know what you mean. I found a lot of it
you
pretty
know
interesting.
What it might mean.
Sex stuff. Well.
Sexy stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There's a lot of good sex stuff in Game of Thrones.
So you'd wait for the sex stuff and then sort
of. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How else are you enjoy?
You really, you know, you really don't need to, Flint, you really don't need to read the books.
Thank you.
Oh,
you don't need to.
You don't need to, but if you're going to write a fantasy novel, it might be a good idea. So you've never read any of these fantasy. Have you read, like, the Golden Compass series, for example?
Okay. Don't lie to me and say a fake book to try to trick me.
Oh, no, that's a real book. The Golden Compass, that's a pretty well-known book. It's part of the His Dark Materials trilogy.
It's so weird. I don't know why you're doing this, Will. Why would you try to trick him into thinking that's an actual...
Karen, you've never heard of that... That book?
Nice try.
You know,
nice
I'm
try.
Sorry. I'm finding myself getting a little worked up. I don't want to be aggressive, but if the point of this call was just to condescend to me for not being an academic.
I totally apologize. I'm sorry. Okay, let's go this way.
I'll just clarify real quick. No, I haven't really read a lot in terms of fantasy novels. I haven't really read a lot in general. My favorite book is a comic book adaptation of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater video game.
Wait a minute. Your favorite book is
a comic book adaptation
of a Tony Hawk skater game, right? I'm taking notes here, so I just want to make sure I got that right.
Are you condescending?
Nope. Honest to God, I'm just clarifying. Comic book adaptation, right? Tony Hawk skater game. One of the Tony Hawk skater games. Okay.
Yeah, one of them. Not all of them.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's probably an action-packed story, right? That's probably an action narrative, so we want to make sure that we're finding out your likes. Let's have a really sexed-up action version of a Lord of the Rings type of story. I mean, that sounds like it could be great. We'll have a protagonist whose name is something like King Arthur, you know? It could be King William. There's a lot of Williams in the English line, a lot of Henrys.
Awesome.
Enough that I think you're not going to be... You can say King Henry, and that's not going to make people think of a particular King Henry, because there's many King Henrys. As long as it's
I think Henry VIII really leaps to mind whenever you say Henry.
Okay, so maybe you can't
King
do Henry.
I think King Henry VIII, I am.
Could we, like, maybe, just spitballing on that, a dude I love is James Bond, and I don't know if you know this, but he was also called sometimes 007, so maybe it could be, like, Henry the 008.
That's smart.
King Henry 008. Okay, yeah, that's okay.
So something you should know about my protagonist is he's like on another level.
Okay, let me write that down. On another level. All right. So yeah, we really want him to stand out.
Yes.
So 008 might do that. It definitely is going to make people think of the Bond mythos. Maybe there's something kind of fun about that. You know, like King. Sometimes you have a name that just sort of stands out. Like, again, Game of Thrones, you have a character called the Hound, and we never find out, like, his name. And just knowing that he's the Hound kind of makes him stand out from the other characters. Maybe 008 is – maybe that's okay. So our protagonist, King – did you say Henry the 08? Is that what you said?
Yeah, King Henry 08. Can we make it so that – how would you write it so that people know to read it that way? Because I don't want someone to read it with like a soft-ass voice like King Henry the 08.
Soft-ass
like
voice, yeah.
King Henry the 08.
Well, we can, capitalize that.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we can. Or, we can spell it out.
Yeah,
awesome. There's a lot of different things you can do. We can actually put an asterisk, and then down at the bottom there'll be a footnote.
Which one is that?
Asterisk is like a star. It's above the 8. It's a little star above the 8 on your keyboard.
Oh, that's perfect, because I'll be writing 008 already to begin with. So if it's right there, that'll make it easy.
You can just do 008, shift that 8, asterisk down below. We can just, every time you mention it, have a little phonetic guide.
Don't mansplain it to me.
I'm mansplaining. Okay.
You're really mansplaining.
I apologize.
It's really offensive. I just want to ask you, Flint, because Will is like so hung up on these details. It's ridiculous. Now you have 10 books and you see you already have the story mapped out and everything. I just want to, what's the story? I'm so curious.
But it is a quest, my fair lady.
Ooh, nice. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so in the first book, King, I guess we'll go.
Let's just go with King Henry VIII.
King Henry VIII is kind of chilling out in the kingdom where he lives, which right now, since I don't have a word for it, it's just the placeholder is Riverside. So he's chilling out in Riverside, which is kind of like his kingdom where he's the number one. He is ruling shit. He's banging it out every day.
Right. But
then this crazy old witch lady comes and she's like, "You've been chosen for the quest."
Oh, nice.
She
Love it.
A series of scrolls.
What's the witch's name?
Right now, again, just a placeholder. The name is Dairy Queen.
Okay. All right.
So the Dairy Queen comes to Riverside and tells King Henry VIII that he has to go on the quest.
You know, Flynn, can I just say?
Yes.
I love your placeholders. I like
you
them.
Think so?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think you're having a problem at all coming up with proper names for places.
See, that's what I was wondering, because I was so I showed the story. I gathered up all of the notes that I had, and I showed this to my parole officer, and they said that was their note. They said that they were confused by all the proper names.
Your parole officer. I didn't. You were in jail at one point, Flint. Is that right?
Yeah, I was.
No. That's totally okay. I mean, that could be good experience to use in your story. I mean, there's a lot of these stories involve like dungeons or prisons or, you know, rogues who are on the run from the law. Like unless it's very personal, that might not be bad to use some of that experience in your story. It could even add some credibility to that part of the story. Someone who has served time and, you know, the act of writing the book can be a redemption arc that would attract people to the story. That's actually...
Really? No one gives a shit about that, Will.
I think
no one gives a shit about that.
No,
okay?
People...
Flint already has a great quest going on, okay? So the
Dairy Queen
comes and sends him, you have to go on a quest.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
So Dairy Queen says, "King Henry, oh wait, you've been chosen for a quest in Riverside." Okay, I'm on board with this. What's the nature of the quest? Why does it have to be? Why is King Henry, oh wait, the one who's specialized to do this?
Well, it was foretold in the scrolls, and what he has to do is he has to return this object. He has to return this object back to its birthplace, back to like the part of the earth that it really actually genuinely belongs in.
Right.
Right now, my placeholder for that is that he has to return a VHS copy of Goldmember to the Blockbuster on 8th.
Okay, so there's Blockbusters in this world and video players and videotapes.
But we would change the name, so...
Okay, placeholder. Yeah. It's maybe fun to mix up technology. Sometimes it's fun when olden time stories have like modern things in them.
I like that.
It could be all right that there's VCRs in this world. We just sort of never explain it. And in the eventual TV adaptation, Flint, they could be kind of art directed to be kind of antiquated and sort of beat up old VCRs like steampunk technology. It's not bad. You could eventually reveal that this world's actually in the far future, like post-apocalyptic.
That actually solves a problem for me, because one big aspect to the story is that he gets a lot of his messages on a MySpace page, and I couldn't figure out. I was like, well, I got to get rid of that because it's not fantasy.
Maybe we keep it. You know, it's like in a post-apocalyptic olden times, so there's old technology laying around. So King Henry VIII could have like MySpace could have like somehow been reconnected or re-energized in this future. Just real quick, what were you in jail for, if you don't mind me asking, or what was the nature of your crime?
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, it was like assault. I assaulted an officer.
Oh, gosh.
It was...
You can get in a lot of trouble for that, that's for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I would say it was my fault.
Hey, that's big of you to be able to admit that. That makes me feel better about somebody when they are... The words I always use are accountable and amenable.
Yeah, it was so dumb. I can't believe I did it. He just had a stupid haircut. So I said, "Hey, pig, nice cut." I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty aggressive. Yeah, I can see a police officer not digging that too much. How old were you when this happened?
I was, God, what year was that? Let's see. I was on my way to prom. So I was 21.
Oh, you went to prom when you were 21 years old. So was it not your prom? You were somebody else's prom.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, no, I was someone else's date. Kind of chaperone. I don't know. It was my cousin. We had like a weird, I couldn't figure out what was going, what our dynamic was.
Okay, yeah. So pretty complicated situation. Maybe that was contributing to your mindset. You know, you're a little bit scrambled on the way.
And speaking of using things, I use that in the story. Like you were saying, use my real life.
Yeah.
So one thing that kind of complicates things for King Arthur is when he goes on this.
King Henry VIII.
Oh, yes, that guy.
Yeah.
One thing that complicates things for him is he wants to go on the quest, but he also has his cousin back in Riverside that he was kind of drawn to in a way.
Hey, that's like a Jaime Lannister, Cersei Lannister, who were brother and sister in the Game of Thrones. I don't know if you picked up on that because you might have been fast forwarding by it, but they were brother and sister and having a secret affair. And that was that can be really compelling, these forbidden couplings. So I love that being in your
down,
story.
Get down.
Hey, Flint, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
What are your dog's names?
Oh, my dogs have just dumb names that I like don't care about. Their names are Methandra, Ponce, the Wolf of Asgard.
Hey, these are pretty good names for your fantasy novel, don't you think?
Like, what?
Methandril is not a bad name for a character in this world.
That.
You
Methandril.
Said the Wolf of Asgard, or what did you
Asgard.
Say? Asgard. Yeah, that suits the kind of world you're trying to build. That might be better than King Henry VIII. Like, I think, like, even if the protagonist was the Wolf of Asgard, could be. That could grab you, you know? I could see the back cover of the book, you know? The Wolf of Asgard was, you know,
you're
having
really
a...
You're really flipping the script on what I thought fantasy was all about.
I'm flipping the... Yeah, hey, we're just in the spitballing phase, so if it doesn't feel right, we can stick with King Henry VIII and Dairy Queen, Riverside, and a VHS copy of Goldmember. You say you have 10 books in mind. Can you tell me some of the big... Any of the big signature events? Like, is there like a... cataclysmic extinction event, or like a rise of a hero, or some, you know, there's probably going to be some major victories and major losses. I know you don't know Lord of the Rings, but like Sauron, is the main villain, is defeated at one point, and then there's still a whole novel left after that.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, so a couple of the big like turning points for my story are around book three. One thing that happens is the protagonist meets a new character who will kind of like band together with him to help him solve the quest, because it turns out there was also a prophecy foretold about this character. And that's kind of mind-boggling to him, because King Henry VIII has up to this point really thought of himself as the center of the world, and the idea that there are prophecies about other people is like very empathy building for him.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like a really good turning point. So another ally, but also maybe a little bit of a rival, a little bit of someone to intimidate King Henry VIII.
Yes, because they don't really realize that their prophecies can be completed together.
Together. They're
first.
Not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
So let's think of a name for this guy. Let's give a good name. Maybe like Alejandro or Lysander. You know, we can borrow from Shakespeare a little bit.
What's your placeholder now, Flint?
Oh, it's stupid. It's Da Beef.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Da
you
beef.
Really?
You're saying Da Beef like D-A Beef? Is that what you're saying?
D-A so Beef, yeah. Uh-huh. It's named after my buddy, Da Beef.
Okay, so King Henry VIII and Da Beef could be pursuing this quest to return the VHS copy of Goldmember to its original blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
I think the placeholders are going to end up giving this book its own style. I mean, maybe if we replace these, we might end up making it very bland. You know, maybe we go with this. I want to go back to your favorite book being the adaptation of the Tony Hawk Skater game. Are you a skateboarder at all? Is that part of the culture that you're excited by? Were you an X Games fan?
I love it. Oh, man, I love it. I grew up in Riverside, and there's like a pretty strong skate community here. I never really could get my footing. I'm super clumsy, so I would just like kind of hang out at the park and whoop my friends on and like
cheer
for them. And like if they landed something really good, I'd be like, sick trick.
That was your role in the group, sort of.
Yeah, sort that of was hard for me to accept.
Because you wanted to be more a central part of it?
Yeah, it felt like, you know, having your balls cut off to not be able to skate, which
it's
is...
It's got to be rough. How old were you at the time you're thinking of?
Let's see. This was like roughly around the time that I got my driver's license. So 23, 24.
Okay. All right. So just a couple years after you went to the prom. Do you have any names for the whole saga? Again, I know you've never read Game of Thrones, but the Game of Thrones is actually just the name of the first book. And the name of the whole saga is A Song of Fire and Ice.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Or like Fellowship of the Ring is the first book in the Lord of the Rings saga. So sometimes.
So I was just thinking of things that like, because the whole thing is about a quest, about a lot of stuff that you got to get done. So I was just thinking about things like that. So one thing I was thinking was Get Her Done.
Cool.
Okay, Get Her Done. Just writing this down. Get Her Done quest.
And I didn't even tell you anything about my main villain. Is that something you need to know about?
Yes, we would need to know about that. Yeah, that the Dairy Queen's not the villain. So who's the villain?
Oh, no. The Dairy Queen is like a neutral force.
Okay.
In this world. The villain
who
is...
The Dairy Queen's the one who sends him on the quest.
Yeah, we're just getting to the villain. So I just want... Yes, we need to know the villain is what I'm confirming for Flint.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So the villain is, I'll give you the placeholder information for now. The villain is this guy named Stephen Perkins. He's a bureaucrat in the system, and he makes Flint go to all these meetings, and he holds him to these standards that are impossible to meet. Like at one point, Flint has to get a job.
Right. So you've started calling the protagonist by your own name, Flint, but I think the protagonist is King Henry. Oh, wait.
Right. Yes. Yeah. King Henry VIII has to.
So Steve Perkins based on somebody in your life, Flint?
I mean, technically, is that okay?
That's often really good. That's often really good for a story to use real life to be inspired.
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of meetings is Steve Perkins making you, Flint Banner, going to?
He has to go to monthly meetings where he meets with Steven to confirm that he has not been hanging out with any of his former associates, that he has been showing up to work.
Oh, I see. And Steve is your parole officer.
Yes. He's, Should I just have said that?
No, that's okay. That's okay. So you want there to be a villain named after your real parole officer, same name, and he has a similar role in this fantasy world.
They say right what you know.
Okay, so there's this, so King Henry VIII has to meet with this parole officer once a month, and this guy's a real jerk. He's a bureaucrat. He's just a real pain in the butt. He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. Yes. And I think, you know, he has a heart. Like, there's a good guy underneath there, but he got his balls cut off a long time ago.
Maybe we should just use that phrase a lot. Maybe we should indicate in the book who's got their balls and who's got their balls cut off, like, metaphorically, like... Or even literally, maybe this is a world where you get your balls cut off if you're too weak. And if you're really dope and sick, you get extra balls.
Yeah.
There could be like a balls system.
I love that.
And maybe King Henry VIII has 4 balls, but he's hoping to get like 8 balls. And if he returns the gold member, he'll get more balls. And Steve Perkins, of course, will have no balls.
Wow. Well, this idea is really telling of you.
How do you figure that? That's
only a man who could himself be emasculated could realize what it would mean to want to have more balls.
Exactly.
I said that in such a clear, concise way.
You were so insightful. You were so insightful.
The message was clear, what you were trying to say. Look, I'm not the most manly man. That's true. I love cats. I knit. But I feel pretty secure about my T levels. I'll say that. I think my T levels are all right. And
do you know what they're at?
I mean, I don't have them measured right now.
You gotta
now.
Get them checked. You gotta get them checked.
Can you get, where does one get your T levels checked? That's something
at the doctor.
Do.
Oh, yeah, you go to the doctor. Or if you go like, to my... or you could just like go to somewhere like the Quest Diagnostics in Vons on Sunset.
So you know of a medical lab testing place.
Yeah, you go get in there, like you could get anything tested anytime. It only costs like
$50.
Or a
LabCorp. Go to a LabCorp or Quest Diagnostics.
Well, all right. So if I'm really curious about my T levels, I'll get them checked out. But I guess what
I
I'm saying
I don't want to be rude, but I would wager that Karen's T levels are maybe a little bit higher than yours.
You know, you're not going to hear an argument from me. I think that might be right. But whatever my T levels are at, I'm comfortable with it. I'm just saying that my ability to empathize.
Are you?
Yes. Are you a soy boy? I like soy milk. I'm not opposed to vegetable products.
Okay, but this is me coming to you out of genuine concern now as your friend. I would only tell you this as a friend. you got to watch out for that stuff. Because if your soy levels get too high, if you consume too much soy, it'll up your estrogen levels and you'll start to feminize in a lot of ways.
I'm not worried about that, and I don't think I consume enough soy for it to have any major impact on my system. I appreciate
you should
the
look
concern.
It up. You should look it up, Will.
Maybe I'll go to Quest Diagnostics, and I'll have my estrogen checked and my T levels checked. I'll go to wherever this place is, and I'll get my T levels and my estrogen levels checked. I think we've got something here. Flint, if you don't mind, I think Karen and I are going to go have a meeting about this to kind of shore up what we would do with this. And if you're open to it, we'll give you a call tomorrow and just sort of, you know, propose a plan and see if you're into it.
That's perfect.
All right. Thanks, Flint. We'll call you tomorrow.
See.
Bye, Flint.
See you guys. Bye.
Hello. If you're enjoying I Will Write Your Book, please do that thing that every podcast asks you to do and go and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. It makes a huge difference to us getting to new audience members. Also, if you have ever heard of social media, there's I Will Write Your Book on Instagram and I Will Write Your on Twitter, which features photos of our guests. And sometimes we get fun fan art that mocks up the covers of these books that we are talking about on these episodes. And it's really fun. So I hope you get a chance to check those out. And thanks so much for listening. All right, this is cassette tape 24. I'm meeting with Karen Donahue at Sherman's Coffee Shop. This is just shortly after a meeting with Flint. So, Karen, what'd you think? This guy's he's nuts, right? I mean, like
he's brilliant. I mean, he's brilliant.
You really think he's brilliant? He's obsessed with masculinity in a weird way, right? Like he's
well. So maybe you should be just a little bit more obsessed with masculinity.
Look, that might be, but I can't be at this guy's level. He's having his dachshunds eat protein and creatine.
You know what?
And
I just want to say something, okay? This is what I noticed, is that you told him that you admired him for his honesty and for being open.
That's true.
When he admitted to you that he was on parole, and he said maybe he didn't make the best decision.
I did admire that.
When he started a fight, okay, with a police officer. So you admired his honesty with himself.
Right,
okay?
Yeah. What are you getting at here?
I think that's a breakthrough for you. I think it's a breakthrough.
I think I'm pretty honest with myself. I think sometimes I'm too honest with myself. Frankly, I feel like I'm up my own ass a lot.
No,
what?
You're really not.
Look, I'm meeting with two therapists. I'm journaling twice a day. I'm meditating for an hour every morning. I'm in my own head too much.
Are you honest? Look, Will, are you really honest with your therapist? Your therapists only see what you show them. Okay?
I try to be.
Yeah, you try. You see? I'm worried for you. That's all. I'm worried for you.
I'm doing better than I've ever done, Karen. I'm doing better. My life's going pretty good.
Okay.
You know, the publishing company's going good. This podcast we're doing, I'm excited about.
Uh-huh.
Hey, if you... we need the gig. I'm excited to help this guy write his fantasy epic.
You need the gig. I'm doing okay.
Okay, I need the gig. And you're doing copy editing for other people? Is that right? You have other contracts you're working on?
You're jealous?
No, I didn't realize that you were... Who are you working for?
You think you're my only client?
I guess I'd never thought about it.
Don't you understand? This is just like the book. Like King Henry VIII, he was so narcissistic. He thought he was the only one who had been given a quest.
You're telling me to relate?
You think that you're the only one who needs someone to copy
it. I don't relate to King Henry VIII.
You know what? I want to say something to you.
Okay,
I think you're making some progress in your life. Okay?
Thank
and I don't
you.
Want
oh, my God.
You
thank
to,
you. Yeah, that's
I don't
really...
want you to take a step forward and two steps back. Okay?
I appreciate
but I want
that.
You
that's
to
really...
keep, stop. You're not being defensive today.
You do realize when I come here to meet with you, I don't intend to talk about me, right? We always seem to... I want to talk about the book and the author. Do you know that? You tend to give me a lot of advice, and I know it's well-meant, but a lot of times I don't need it.
You're okay? wrong.
Well, here's what I like about Flint's book. I actually think his placeholder names are great because I think they end up giving it its own style. And I think it could be fun.
I just want to mention to you that I'm the one who told Flint that his placeholder names were good.
You did say I'm that. The one yes, who said I give that. You full. Yes, great. That was a great, good. A great instinct, good. And I would give great. You full credit with that decision. Great. Yes,
good.
I heard that. All right, let's talk with him tomorrow. I'm excited about this. I think it could actually be quite fun.
Good, you're trying to be happy. I like that.
It has nothing to do with me. I just I like.
You're
this
trying
Facebook.
To be. You're trying
could
to just, be.
Could you cover this today also? My coffee. Could really? You just cover this today, and I'll Venmo you later. I have a weird thing with my checking account. I've moved all this money around, and I don't have any.
Oh, all this money around?
Yeah, I'm just really? Like you I'm trying not. I'm trying not to use my credit account? Card and only use
you
debit
cards.
You don't
have $3.
I have it. I'm not sure if I have it.
Right.
Okay. Could you just cover it for like a couple days?
Fine. I mean, you really need to get your affairs in order.
They're in order, all right. They're fine.
No, they're not. No, they're not. You should be kissing this guy's ass. He's got 10 novels that he wants you to work on. You should be kissing his ass.
I doubt they're that fleshed out, but yes, I would love to have 10 books to write with this guy.
Okay. I gotta get to the tanning salon.
Cassette tape 28. And this is our second meeting with Flint Banner. I have Karen Donahue here. This is the day after our first meeting. Flint, are you there on the call?
Hi, this is Stephen Perkins.
Oh, hi, Stephen. Hi, yeah, we're calling for Flint Banner. Is Flint there?
Hi, yeah, I'm so sorry to give you some bad news. Flint's actually back in prison at the moment.
Since yesterday?
Yeah, he had a bit of a rough go of it yesterday evening. And so I just, I have his phone, and if anytime it's been ringing, I've been letting people know what's going on with him.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry to hear that. So, Stephen, I'm a ghostwriter. My name's Will Hines, and he was thinking about hiring us to help write his fantasy novels.
Yeah, he actually, I know who you guys are.
Because he showed you his notes, yeah. And
yeah, he was pretty forthcoming about pretty much everything going on in his life every time I would speak with him. So I'm pretty plugged in to the world of Flint.
Right. And he actually mentioned you to us also, that you're his parole officer. And sometimes he has, I think, some difficulty complying with the demands made of him.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people who are just out of the system have those difficulties. And I say, what are you going to do? It's tough, you know.
Yeah. So. You say he's in prison. What happened? We talked to him at 4 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday.
He just went on a real bender. We were supposed to have a meeting, and he called me probably about 10 minutes before we were supposed to meet at the Blimpies. And he said, I'm going on the quest. It's happening, bitch. Apparently, he went off. He grabbed his friend DeBeef. They beat up a couple of teenagers in the park, and then they ended up driving a car directly into a Blockbuster. Well, what used
can
to
I
be
say
a
something? Can I say something, Stephen Perkins? Okay, my name is Karen Donahue.
Okay, yes, hello.
And you are a public servant. All right, you are a civil servant, and it is your duty to serve the community. And you
Karen.
Have been giving Flint Banner a hard time. You've
Karen.
Been on his case. Okay. You have been
Karen.
On his ass.
Karen, what are you doing? Karen, do not get in this.
I'm writing a wrong here.
Karen, you don't.
I am writing a wrong.
Don't
he
get
shouldn't
involved.
Be back in prison. Okay,
Karen, you
shouldn't. You should be in prison. You know that?
We care. We
making
wow.
him go to meetings and
Karen,
try and find a job.
We talked to Flint Banner for half an hour. We do not know the details of this story. All right,
you're
look, we
a
don't
small
know.
Person, Stephen.
Hey,
Perkins.
Karen, Jesus,
you are small.
Oh, jeez,
you are tiny,
Stephen. I apologize.
No, I, you know, and to some extent, I agree. The criminal justice system is set up in a way that makes it really hard for felons like Flint to readjust and reacclimate. But I try
right.
my best.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. It's just a vicious cycle. You know, you're just throwing him back in the system just so corporations can make money off of these prisons. This is bull. And that's who's writing your check. Who's writing your check.
Karen, if he beat up a couple of teenagers with DeBeef, then I think it might have been right to detain this guy.
Teenagers are assholes.
That,
okay?
That might be
They're assholes just like you, Steven. just like you. You're an asshole. Go fuck yourself.
Karen, what are you doing?
Hey, Karen. Will, I appreciate you sticking up for me, but don't worry about it. I hear this all day, every day from my stepdaughter, so I'm used to it.
Oh, my gosh. Steven, I'm so sorry. Look,
you know,
I hope...
be cool once in a while, tell people that they don't have to do their drug tests, you know? But you're not. You're so by the book. You're so small.
You have no idea what you're talking about, Karen. You don't know this guy's specific. Maybe he does. Maybe he does cut people some slack. He sounds like a pretty not aggressive guy. Like
I
he
doubt
sounds
it.
Pretty.
You wield your power, Stephen Perkins. You wield it over the weakest among us.
Why are you taking Flint Banner's side? He went to a prom when he was 21 years old. I think like the guy was going through some stuff.
You said you admired him. Well, you admired
when he
him.
When he admitted that he'd made a mistake, I did it.
I gotta say, you know, Karen's really coming from a place that I agree with in a lot of ways. Flint was making a lot of progress. He actually had started a job. He got his first job that, as far as I know, was maybe his first job in his whole life. And he was making big strides until this big incident. So
he was doing so good, and then you screwed him over, Stephen Perkins. He was doing so good. He was getting his life together.
Stephen, do you think that our meeting had anything to do with setting him off? We had a pretty good talk. We were like excited about his novel, and it actually felt largely positive to me. Like he
well,
seemed
one
in
thing
good
that
spirits.
Was interesting is when he called me up and said that the quest was starting and referred to me as a bitch. One thing he said is the specifics I have are good enough, and that he had been in a mindset of change and a mindset of growth, but that he had recently had a conversation with some people who helped him realize that everything that he had was just good enough as it was.
He said that. We did think his specifics, we thought they were pretty good. I really didn't think that would set off a manic phase of some kind.
They were great specifics.
Karen!
They weren't just pretty good. They were amazing specifics. Can't you see that, Stephen Perkins? What? Can't you see that? You were so small. Oh, you've got blinders on, man. You got
Stephen,
blinders on.
I really
You're
apologize.
Part of the problem.
I apologize for this behavior.
Part of the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry.
You were against the specifics. Is that right, Stephen?
In the novel? Oh, yeah. I found them really difficult to read. But I got to be honest with you, the story itself was one thing. But the main thing that was difficult was like how he had compiled everything. Just all the story wasn't even typed up on legal pads. It was just on various pieces of Burger King napkins.
Well, I gotta take Flint's side on that, because in the initial creative process, I say anything you write, I'm a big proponent of the shitty first draft. You got to just get it out somehow.
He could have at least dried them off first. They were so wet.
I don't know if that matters. I don't mind wet.
You know,
notes
not
for
everybody's
a first draft.
Got a big, big paycheck like you that you get from the taxpayer. You're stealing taxpayer money, and you can go out and get a legal pad and spend all this money on pens and pads.
I'm not as angry as Karen. Stephen, but I think she's got a point. Like, you know, if you're just starting off writing something creative, I say any effort is good. And even if it's a really wet Burger King napkin, that's still a good start. I mean, have you ever written anything, Stephen?
Oh, I dabble.
I bet it sucks.
Oh.
I bet it sucks.
A
mindset like you, I'm not as angry as Karen, but I do think you're a bit of a critic and you're a bit of a say no first. And I bet your writing sucks serious balls.
Well,
I bet your writing has no balls.
Yeah, you suck, Stephen Perkins.
What's your
Go
T
fuck
level,
yourself.
Stephen Perkins?
Go
What's
fuck
your T
own
level?
Self.
What's your T level?
My T levels average around 300 in the morning, which is
that sounds low.
Low for
that
a man
low.
My age. But you know what? I do some writing, and I
shut
only
up. Care Go what shove it up your ass.
All right.
Yeah.
Shove
Go
it straight up your
yourself.
Ass, you bitch.
Go fuck yourself.
You're not a good
Stephen
writer.
Perkins.
We're
fuck
in
you.
Flint's team. You're a son of a bitch.
Good job, Will. Yes.
Well, look,
that's
I gotta
good.
Say, if you're just here to speak your truth to power against me, I'm willing to take that.
Don't you dare be nice to me, you bitch! You are our enemy. Don't you dare disarm us.
All right.
I'm ending this call. Tell Flint that we're gonna finish the novel without him.
Well, you could speak to him. You know, there are visiting hours where he's held.
I don't have time. I don't have time for that stuff. But if he's ever out, pass on a message that we're on board.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I'll do
all
that.
Right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fuck you.
All right, everyone, that's another episode of I Will Write Your Book. My name's Will Hines. I was playing the character Will Hines, the ghostwriter. And you can find me on Twitter, WILLHINES, where I tweet nothing but lies. And, you know, I'm out there doing various things. I don't know. Karen Donahue, would you please introduce yourself now?
Hi, I'm Pam Murphy, and I play Karen Donahue. And you can find me at MURPHYPLEASE.
Murphy, is that please. Right? Did you spell it right?
Murphy, please, on Instagram and Twitter. And hey, you better get that free 90-day trial. Get a free 90-day trial of Quibi!
This podcast is going to single-handedly propel Quibi to the top.
Hi, I'm Kale Hills. I was featured in this episode as Flint Banner and Stephen Perkins. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kale Hills. And my improv team, Pony, does a live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. as long as we're in quarantine. Past that point, if you're listening still, I'll post about shows on social media.
Thanks so much, Kelly. It was terrific. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Campfire Media, for helping this podcast happen. And we'll see you all / hear, listen, talk next episode. Bye.
Ever wanted to hear from the neighbor at 9 Cloverfield Lane? Or what if I told you that Dr. Loomis's worst patient wasn't Michael Myers? I'm Adam Peacock, host of the podcast My Neighbors Are Dead. Join me each week as I talk to the lesser-known characters from your favorite horror films. Each week is an all-new, fully improvised journey into the unknown, featuring friends and luminaries from the worlds of comedy, horror, and beyond. New episodes every Tuesday on Campfire Media. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Campfire.